Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? That is how our Old Testament lesson begins, as the prophet Habakkuk cries out to God. To understand his cry, let us go back to 600 BC, when the prophet lived, when God's people in Judah had fallen deep into sin and idolatry. These people, God's people, who are supposed to be the chosen people, those who are supposed to be a light to the nations, instead, the temple has become corrupt, the leaders unjust, the poor trampled. Violence and oppression fill the land. Oh, wait, it gets worse. Because that's just what's happening in Israel. Across the horizon, a dark storm gathers. The Babylonians. A ruthless empire was rising, swallowing nation after nation. Soon, they're coming for Judah, too. Habakkuk sees his people, they're unfaithful to God. And he sees the Babylonians threatening destruction. And he cries out, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, why do you make me see iniquities? Why do you look idly at wrong?" Now that's the cry of a believer who knows God is righteous, but can't understand why God seems silent in the face of sin and evil. That same cry echoes in our world today. Many a voice says these words, or words very similar to it. We may not fear a rising Babylonian army, but we do see a culture turning away from God. We see violence, division. We see suffering with our own eyes. We see, it seems like evil wins the day. Habakkuk's lament is ours. O Lord, how long? And what does God answer? I think it's not what Habakkuk wanted. It's not instant deliverance. It's not a quick fix. It's not a clear explanation of all the mysteries of suffering. Instead, God says, the vision awaits its appointed time. If it seems slow, wait for it. The righteous shall live by his faith. Now notice what God doesn't say. He doesn't tell Habakkuk that faith will make everything easy, everything's going to be all right. He does not promise wealth, health, or worldly success. In fact, Habakkuk's faith is about to be put to the ultimate test in the hardest way imaginable. His land is going to be invaded. His people will be carried away, they'll be enslaved, taken away from their homes and brought to faraway Babylon. This is why we must always be careful that the false teachings in the church today, that prosperity gospel that says, if you have enough faith, God will bless you with money, health, success, rewards. And on the surface, that's comforting. Who wouldn't want that? But it's ultimately false. Because if prosperity is the sign of faith, then what do we make of Habakkuk, the prophet of the Lord? His land is about to be destroyed, and yet his faith clings to God's promise. Furthermore, what do we make of Paul in our epistle reading? At the time when he's writing, he's imprisoned, suffering, awaiting execution. Would we say that Paul, that his faith was weak? By no means, never. His faith was strong, and he entrusted everything to Christ. The truth is that there are times when the righteous suffer precisely because of their faith. Jesus himself says, "In this world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." So the righteous live by faith. Not in times of ease and comfort only, but especially in times of trial and hardship. Faith does not mean we escape the cross. Faith means we cling to Christ who bore the cross for us. That's why Paul, in his writings to Timothy, urges him, "Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Guard the good deposit which has been entrusted to you." Paul is not writing in comfort. He isn't chained, imprisoned, and waits the headsman's axe. By sight, from the outside, looking in, it would look like the gospel has failed. By sight, it looks like Paul has lost. But by faith, Paul sees the bigger truth. By faith, he sees that Christ Jesus has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So Paul encourages Timothy. "Timothy, do not be ashamed, do not lose heart. Guard the faith, because it is the one treasure that will last beyond death itself." But these are some of the big names in Scripture. What of us? Well, what of the disciples? Those that were there with Jesus when he was doing his ministry. In our gospel reading, the disciples feel that same tension we do. Jesus talks about the challenges of following him, forgiving one another, bearing with one another. And the disciples cry out, "Lord, increase our faith." The desperation, "Lord, what you have asked is hard. Increase our faith that we might bear this. Increase our faith." There's desperation in that request. They know and understand their own weakness. They know how small their trust feels. Maybe today, as you've come to worship, you've been struggling with some things in your own life, some own tribulations. Maybe it's forgiving a neighbor. Maybe it's the world outside is a bit darker than it was the day before, and not for the fact that it's slowly becoming darker as we approach the winter equinox, but because things are a bit more hostile in our world. Maybe you say, "Lord, increase my faith. Lord, my faith feels too small. Lord, I don't have enough trust. I'm tired. Increase my faith." But Jesus says to his disciples, "If you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed," you all know how small a mustard seed is. I couldn't even use it as a visual representation here in the children's message, because even the children who are 5 feet from me wouldn't have been able to see it. And Jesus replies, "If you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed," in other words, it's not the size of your faith that matters. What matters is the one in whom your faith rests. Even the smallest faith, if it clings to Jesus, is enough. Because the power does not come from how strong your believing you feel your beliefs are. The power comes from Christ, crucified and risen for you. So what does it mean to live by faith? It means crying out to God in honesty, like Habakkuk, not pretending everything is fine when it isn't. It means guarding the gospel like Paul urges Timothy, because it is your life and your salvation. It means trusting Jesus, even with mustard seed faith, serving him humbly in daily life, knowing that our salvation is not earned by the works of our hand, but freely given by grace. The righteous shall live by faith, not by sight, not by strength, not by the works of their hand, not by prosperity or worldly success, but by faith in Christ and in Christ alone. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.